How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every Sunday by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We had a lot of news to talk about today, including it is TNA Slammiversary Sunday. They're only running 4 pay-per-views a year. It's June 2nd. We're only halfway through the year, but 3 out of the 4 pay-per-views will be in the books by the end of today, which means over the next 6 months, they only have 1 pay-per-view left. It is Bound for Glory coming up October 20th in San Diego, California. We're going to talk about that here on the show and preview every single match on the Slammiversary pay-per-view in depth. It's coming up in the next couple of hours, as well as a lot of news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We'll discuss what happened on Raw and Impact this week, including Impact. Only in Impact would something like this happen. Very concerned about the ratings. They decided to move the show to 9 o'clock p.m. The week before they changed time slots, the show does 1.3 million viewers. They changed time slots the following week, hoping it'll help turn everything around. And what happens? Drop down to 1 million viewers, even lower than several weeks back when they hit the lowest Impact rating of the year. This number was horrible. But obviously, they had a lot of competition going head-to-head with the NBA, that sort of thing. And competition is going to affect them no matter what time they're on the air. But still, Impact cannot catch a break. We're going to talk about that here on the show. Plus, we got a lot of news coming out of all over the world and all over pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We've got a title change in Mexico, IWGP Junior title. We've got a switch to the coaches for the Ultimate Fighter. Ronda Rousey will now be coaching opposite Misha Tate. What happened? Why did it happen? Why Misha Tate? We're going to talk about all of that, plus the death of Buck Robley, the prison sentence likely in the future of Buck Zumoff, the death of Hector Garza, the death of the brand split, in fact. UFC breaking the WWE's attempt to get on network television, and so much more. We got a lot of stuff coming up, so stick around. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, and sometimes 92, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That is the TuneIn Radio app. You can search for Wrestling Observer Live or Sports Byline USA. Follow all the great programming, including this show. And Mike, how's it looking this fine Sunday afternoon?
No complaints out of me. It is very nice here at the beach on the East Coast. So I spend my morning doing that, and I'm now nice and relaxed, ready to do this show. And then when we're done, obviously watch Slammiversary.
I realize that the Atlantic Ocean is over there. But with the exception of, like, Florida, I'm baffled that there's even beaches anywhere on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. All up and down the East Coast. Now, once you hit New Jersey, it gets a little dicey on whether you want to go to those beaches or not. And then you go further north, and there's more question there. But Josh Nathan would have to tell you about the New England states. But I can tell you about the Mid-Atlantic and South. All of our beaches are very, very nice.
Out here on the West Coast, unless you, I guess if you go to the coast, it's a real beach. But here in Seattle, the beaches are largely, you're walking amongst rocks and twigs, and then all of a sudden there's the water. That's pretty much the way it is. No white sand, you got to go way out for that. But enough of the beach talk. We have TNA Slammiversary, which is taking place this afternoon. Slammiversary, everybody. It is the third of only 4 pay-per-views that TNA does live every year from this point forward. And they are coming to you tonight, only on pay-per-view, from Boston, Massachusetts. I believe you'll be able to get this online on the TNA website as well. I've never actually tried to do that, but pretty sure you can do that on your iPad. As well as some of you are in the midst right now of watching the Chikara Eye pay-per-view, which you can also check out on your iPad as well. So go to www.chikarapro.com. You can get the replay of that show as well. But Slammiversary is still to come. It's going to be taking place immediately after the show goes off the air. And we got a lot of matches here. Mike, with TNA only running four times per year live on pay-per-view, of course, they've got those tape pay-per-views that air occasionally as well that literally I hear nothing about ever, so I presume nobody buys them. But are you excited for this show today since it's a rare Sunday now that hosts a TNA pay-per-view?
Yes and no. Exciting a little bit because it is a pay-per-view and TNA doesn't have these things often, and I don't think they've done a good job building up to the past two. It was smart to cut back on the amount of pay-per-views. I thought they should have cut back to six live ones, and they ended up cutting back to four. I don't know if they've gotten everything they could out of building up to these pay-per-views, but they're more of a television product anyway, so I'm not saying that this is a throwaway show or anything like that, but again, they are mostly concerned with what takes place on their TV. With that said, I mean, obviously it's a live wrestling event. I know Evolve is on tonight. They've been running pay-per-views all weekend as well, but with nothing else going on wrestling or fight-wise this weekend, and you know, even in boxing, TNA's kind of got the spotlight to themselves tonight, so I haven't been blown away by the lead-up going into the pay-per-view, but with that said, you know, I guess we can just sit back here and see what happens. The card, obviously, is not the most dynamic, but because they only are going to have those couple of pay-per-views a year, maybe they're going to pull something out of their bag of tricks tonight to make something exciting.
Bully Ray and Sting is your main event tonight. No holds barred for the TNA World Heavyweight title. They've got a stipulation. If Sting loses, never again can he wrestle for the World Heavyweight title. Think about that. Never again. Ever. Now, maybe they're figuring that he's going to retire after this year, but it's been 7 years now that it was going to be his last year in wrestling. I suppose if they really wanted to go back on this stipulation, he could actually enter the tournament next year, the Bound for Glory tournament, and somehow win and be promised that championship match. Maybe, I mean, in real life, the idea probably would be that he would be disallowed from entering the tournament, but the two obvious directions they can go. Number one, Sting wins the title after Hulk Hogan screws Bully Ray. Sting, as champion, goes on to face whoever the Bound for Glory tournament winner is, or he could even lose the title to somebody else on TV, and then that person could square off against presumably AJ Styles at the Bound for Glory show. Or Sting loses, and Bully Ray ends up challenging, or AJ Styles ends up challenging Bully Ray for the title at Slammiversary. Now, to me, it all comes down to, are they going to do a Hulk Hogan versus Bully Ray battle? I don't know if a match is the best term, but maybe they'd have some sort of in-ring whatever at Bound for Glory. If that's going to happen, then Bully Ray can't be champion. You cannot have Hulk Hogan go through the Bound for Glory tournament. You cannot have the Bound for Glory winner give the championship match to Hulk Hogan. It just can't be done. You kill the tournament. It makes no sense. So if you're going to do Bully and Hulk Hogan, to me, Bully Ray cannot be champion, and he has to lose either tonight or on television. So you could have Bully beat Sting tonight and lose on television as well. There are a lot of ways that you can go with this, and I think that's why I actually care a little bit about this main event, because I'm interested to see where they go. Where do you think they're going, Mir Mike?
Look, yeah, it's pro wrestling. Not only is it pro wrestling, it's TNA. So the chances that Sting never gets another championship shot again, I mean, there's so many easy ways out of that one. Plus, I mean, Sting's one of those guys to the TNA fan base. It's like Shawn Michaels, you know. It's like if you said, hey, do you want to see Shawn Michaels one more time, even though he'd be breaking his retirement stip to get another world title shot? Of course everyone's going to say yes. Now, I'm not saying that does wonders for the stipulation itself, but you can get out of this with Sting, where if he loses this, it's not like, you know, the sad music plays at the end of The Incredible Hulk and he walks away all sad and we're never going to see Sting wrestle for the title anymore. I mean, look, it's wrestling, and that counts out of the bag. If you wanted to change that up, you could. So, and really, with what they're doing with AJ Styles, and obviously the tease of possibly one day getting Bully Ray and Hulk Hogan, I just don't see Sting winning tonight. Bully Ray, to me, has got to win, and that will lead him into, hopefully not Hulk Hogan or anything of the like, but leads him into he and AJ Styles, because otherwise, what are you exactly going to do with AJ Styles? I mean, I think we got, what, is it August or September the next pay-per-view is? I think that's plenty of time.
October!
When is it, October?
There's no show until Bound for Glory, October 20th.
Okay, well, there you go. Again, that's, to me, if you're going to do the AJ Styles thing right, and I don't know if it's really, you know, it's up in the air whether it's working or not. There's still people that like AJ Styles, though, and I think, you know, going on a run to face off against Bully Ray and to try to save some of the glory for TNA, I think is the way they, at least that I would probably go with it. So Bully Ray wins tonight, and to me that just leads to he and AJ later on down the line.
4.5 months till this next pay-per-view.
Well, they can't say they don't have ample time to build up something now, right?
Well, they got ample time. The problem is they've had
ample time.
The problem is I am a fan of only 4 pay-per-views a year for TNA. Part of that is obviously selfish, you know. I don't need to see a pay-per-view every single month from TNA. But there's also, you know, in theory, this should be a big deal for TNA. You know, they only do one show every 4 months, so that gives you plenty of time to build up to each pay-per-view and make each pay-per-view seem important. And in doing so, you know, you would presume that with only 4 pay-per-views a month, each pay-per-view would do more buys than when you go every single solitary month. It does not appear that this is the case. The first 2 pay-per-views of this year have done about what you would expect from them if they were going monthly. So, I mean, this kind of will be a test. Lockdown always does better than your average monthly pay-per-view. So, if you throw that one out, Slammiversary is a show that's usually just kind of a show, even though they treat it like kind of a big deal because it's the anniversary show. But if this does 9,000 buys, I don't know. That's not very good. I mean, if anything else, you're losing less money every year by only running 4 money-losing shows a year, or 2, maybe Lockdown, and certainly Bound for Glory might make a little bit of money. So at the end of the day, they're better off running 4. But, and we'll talk about this after the break, to me the big issue is they've had a long time to build up this show, and they really didn't start building up this show till about a month ago, which is what they used to do when they only ran monthly. So what's the difference? We'll talk about this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, or 794. Take your pick. Give all of them a shot. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That is the TuneIn Radio app. Search Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer Live. You can check out the show archives, all sorts of fun stuff, millions of ways to listen to the show. Literally millions! Not really. But check it out every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific. Now, the TNA Slammiversary show is tonight, and as I was talking about prior to the break, the next 4.5 months, they actually can build up to one pay-per-view over an extended period of time because they're doing a Bound for Glory tournament, which is going to take place over many months, and the winner gets a championship match at their version of WrestleMania. But throwing that out of the equation, where's the long-term build for Slammiversary? I mean, to me, it's just like Slammiversary takes place on June 2nd here today, and in the previous 2.5 months or so, they've just done television shows. And they've done television shows, and then a month out, they started building up for this pay-per-view. Well, that's what they used to do in the past. Every month, they built for another pay-per-view. And the idea was that you had more than a month to build for the pay-per-views once they stopped running every single month. So, to me, the longer-term build for pay-per-views has not really taken place. We're still getting a one-month build like we did in the past. And when you do that, it kind of makes you wonder, well, what's the point of not doing a pay-per-view every month if you're still only taking a month to build up these pay-per-views?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And this is really the second one in a row where, you know, we knew Bully Ray and Sting for quite some time, but Styles and Angle was only set up really, you know, this past week. The four-way tag match was only really set up 2 weeks ago. Devon and Joseph Park, we've been kind of going on for a while, but Suicide and Saban and Kenny King's only been in the last 2 to 3 weeks. You know, Bradley and Shaw, again, that's only been announced and was going on for the past couple of weeks. So, yeah, I mean, what is the point then of, I can understand having some downtime and trying to get your stuff in order. But then again, I mean, you know, why did everything wait to really be laid out and set up for until the last couple of weeks? Again, that's why it just didn't feel, again, the go-home show on Thursday, it wasn't the worst show in the world or anything like that, but it didn't feel like they were really driving it home that this was a big deal. It's one of only four pay-per-views we're having. This thing's really special. This is the second one in a row where it didn't feel like that going into it. Now, I could be surprised tonight, but again, I don't know. Again, did they rope in those million viewers that watch their product every week on TV, no matter how bad it goes up or goes down? It's always about a million people. Can they get even, you know, a tenth of those people to order the show? Probably not. And in fact, no, they won't.
The AJ Styles-Kurt Angle is the semi-main event on the show, and I don't know, it's a match. I guess they've built it up a little bit on television, but, you know, they've...
Well, the full time with AJ, well, he still goes back and forth as the shadowy figure.
I did a show yesterday, I was interviewed, and they were asking about this match and TNA in general, and it just kind of felt like, you know... It's just a match. I've seen this match a million times. This to me is the problem with TNA. Like, I'm sure this match is going to be great. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this match. I'm sure when the match is over, I'm going to rave about the match. And I'm probably going to talk about how great the match is tonight on the show. It's still a match I've seen a million times. And I think if you want to talk about why TNA is stuck in this permanent holding pattern, it's things like this. It's just the same matches with the same guys. Week after week, month after month, year after year. And again, I have no problem with the match. I'm excited for the match. I think the match is going to be good. But, you know, I'm a guy that's going to buy every pay-per-view. If you're talking about the casual audience and why they do a million viewers and only 8,000 pay-per-view buys, well, those people have seen this match 1,000 times. I still think it's going to be a good match, and I expect AJ Styles to win.
Yeah, same here. And it is going to be a good match, but it's not... You know, I don't have the same expectations as, like, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. Remember they did that, I think it was last year, where they did that, and they had a couple of matches. It's like, okay, what can these two possibly do to do something different out of the 1 trillion matches that they've had from over the years in TNA and on the independent scene in Ring of Honor? And they were actually able to do that. I don't see that being the case for AJ and Kurt Angle. Although what I do think that even if it's a banana peel thing or something like that, AJ, even though, you know, he was the one that attacked Angle, I think actually gets a clean win here. Even if it's a little bit shady how he does it as far as maybe it's a slip up from Angle or something like that. But I don't think AJ does something heelish here to get the win. He just flat gets the win.
Also on the show, we've got Chavo and Hernandez against Gunner and James Storm, against Chris Daniels and Kazarian, against Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. This should be a good match. It's a four-way elimination match for the tag team titles. I'm not sure why it's an elimination match other than they just want a stipulation for this show. And it's going to obviously it's going to take up some time here. But I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter who the tag team titles are on. One would think that since they made a big deal out of Gunner coming back to team with James Storm, that maybe they would win. But James Storm, I don't even know what he can do tonight. He's not even supposed to be wrestling. He was in a match on Thursday, but did pretty much nothing. And it's an elimination match, so I suppose they could just pin Gunner and get them both out of there. But kind of, I don't know, to make a big deal out of the two guys and then they're eliminated first or... Actually, really, at any point, kind of, I don't know. I don't know if that's the best idea. Chavo and Hernandez, not into them as a team. Daniels and Kazarian, Aries and Roode. Any of these, either of these teams, I'd be happy seeing as champions. I'd love for it to come down to those guys battling it out for the belts. But I guess we'll see. A match, I don't know, where, like I said, it really doesn't matter who ends up winning.
Now, I can see the belts coming off of Chavo and Hernandez, and maybe it's something where Bad Influence and Aries and Roode screw themselves over somehow and Gunnar and James Storm end up getting the win, and that way they can, you know. And again, if they actually keep doing these types of matches for a little while, or at least have triangle matches, or in the mix with Bad Influence and Aries and Rude, I mean, if that would be a great thing to help Gunnar along. You know, teaming up with James Storm, who's been, you know, obviously, you know, his tag teams in TMA have been, you know, relatively legendary. So it's probably the best thing for Gunnar if they win the belts and continue to work with Bad Influence and Aries and Rude. I don't think that's a bad deal. But whatever happens, they should probably get the belts off of Chavo and Hernandez, just because I don't think they're really doing it for anybody right now. Although the match itself, though, probably could very well be, because of who's in it, the best match on the show.
We have D-Von and Joe Park. Joe Park is challenging for what they're claiming is his first ever championship, the TNA TV title. He actually, believe it or not, the Joe Park character has won title on the indie scene. So this won't be his first ever belt. But I think that...
He's come a long way from his time serving at Park.
He has become somewhat of a grappler. I think tonight that you're going to see a title change. But I think it's going to be different than what people are expecting. I'm expecting a swerve in this particular battle. That's all I'm going to say about that.
You've dropped inside information. You better tell me about this during the break so I can be filled in on this. I don't know what you're talking about, but I do believe we're going to see a title change, although I was just going with the traditional way of Joe Park, especially the way Taz and the way it was played out on TV this past week, where D-Von, you know, just telling Bubba Ray that he's got it, and Taz kind of laughing off the fact that Joe Park is even daring to wrestle for the television title. But I like seeing Joe Park on my TV every week. I don't know necessarily if I want to see him. Yeah, actually, yes, I do. I do want to see him wrestle on TV every week, because even though he's a puppy with big paws, he's really coming along well. So I'd like to track his progress.
That's right. X Division Championship, Kenny King, Suicide, and Chris Sabin. I am very leery of this match. Sabin coming off two ACL tears, braces everywhere on his body, and the first thing they do on pay-per-view is put him into an X Division ladder match. I don't want this guy to get hurt. I hope he ends up all right.
Have you seen Chris Sabin recently? The problems with his knees have actually grayed his hair and just made him very angry looking.
Yeah, they have the picture on Impact of Chris Sabin. He looks like, I don't even know what he looks like, besides 400 years old. He looks so weathered and so angry and so evil. He looks like some sort of heel out of like some sort of fantasy novel, like some sort of wizard or something like that. That's very, very old and very, very wizened and very, very angry. It's the most unflattering picture of Chris Sabin I've ever seen in my life, and that's what they've used for his graphic on television. But I don't know. It's been a rough few years for this poor guy. Who do you think is going to win?
I guess I'll go ahead and give him the title. Now, Suicide is who? TJ Perkins?
That's right, of ROH.
Okay, so I know Kenny King's probably had the title for long enough, and then with this whole three-way thing, we've had guys get knocked out of the picture and not had, you know, obviously lost their title opportunities, so I think it's finally about time that somebody knocks off Kenny King. And again, they made a big deal out of Chris Sabin coming back, and he has given his body, so I can see Chris Sabin going heel down the line, but I think for right now, he's the good guy and somehow ends up getting the win in this.
I think that Chris Sabin doesn't get the win, and it causes him to become a heel.
Will he be the Aces and Eights official X Division contender?
It's possible. I hadn't thought of that. I hope he doesn't enter Aces and Eights. Just be a heel, you know? Just like Bad Influence.
Gunner and Sabin to do it tonight when they both turn.
Gunner and Sabin?
I don't know. It's possible.
I don't see Gunner turning tonight. It's too soon.
Besides, too many beards in that group already.
That's right. Sabin I can see, because they've just been pushing too hard this babyface side of him, and it doesn't feel natural. It feels like he's a natural heel. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, 794, Channel 92, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For satellite, I've been told that 94 is a normal channel. Sometimes it gets bumped to 92. It's always up on 794, and 208 is iffy, but you can check around on the dial and try to find the show there. If it's not there, you can always check us out at WrestlingObserver.com. Stream live at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern every Sunday afternoon, and on the TuneIn Radio app. If you search for Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer Live, you can follow us on the app. Listen to all the great Sports Byline programming, plus the show every Sunday and archives. That is the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Also, check us out at WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily news updates. We have newsletters, the acclaimed Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, archives of both newsletters as well, and radio shows. Every single day we do radio shows on the website. If you love this program and you only get to hear it once per week for free, you're missing out. We not only have free radio shows on the website at least once a week, but we have a members-only area, $10.99 per month. And for that $10.99, you get every single show we've ever done since 2005, plus brand new shows pretty much every single day. During the course of the week, I usually try to do 2 shows a day. Sometimes it's more. Sometimes it's less, but it's usually 2 shows a day. We have shows from all of our other great hosts as well available. These are all in the archives as well. So you'll never run out of audio. If you love pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you will never, ever run out if you get a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. If you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest 3 free radio shows. Again, WrestlingObserver.com. And if you like what you hear, and this obviously is a sample right now, if you like what you hear right now, this week, get on the website every single day. So sign up for a month. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, you just don't sign up again. If you do like it, you can sign up for a longer-term deal and never run out of audio. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. We're there all the time. And a lot of news as well. The number one combined mixed martial arts and pro wrestling website in the world. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking about the TNA pay-per-view, which goes on the air moments after we go off the air. Slammiversary, talking about the 3-way X Division match with Kenny King, Suicide, and Chris Sabin. I'm expecting Sabin to lose, flip his lid, and turn heel. But who knows? Who knows where they'll go? Maybe they'll just give Sabin the championship, and maybe they'll give it to him, and he loses it on impact, and then he flips his lid. Or maybe he won't flip his lid at all. Sometimes I've not been the best at calling heel turns, I won't lie. Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim is a last knockout standing match. This sounds like something else, Mike.
Hey, it sounds like something I'd like, and I'd like to hear that you've kindly come over to my side on Taryn Terrell and the incredible, massive talents that she has. I think she's playing her character perfectly, and I'm happy to hear that you've come around to Taryn now, who is one of my high points of watching Impact every week.
Turned around?
Yes.
I don't think I ever was not a fan of Tiffany.
You were very, very much not a fan of her. Obviously, her oratory skills were the one thing that would drive you nuts on ECW.
Tell me about it.
You were never a fan of seeing her, though, in the ring or anything like that. I'm not exactly a fan of seeing her in the ring exactly, but then again, after Velvet Sky the past couple of weeks, really, how bad could it get?
Yeah, as Tiffany on ECW, she was something else. Her promos were amazing, and not in the best way. I am a fan of her on Impact. She is a lot of fun. She's very wacky. I don't know how good a match this is going to be. Luckily, Gail Kim is in there. Last knockout standing, I just don't know. Why the stipulation? Why? Why is this a last knockout standing match? The drama in this match will bring me to tears.
I have no answer for you. I really don't have any answer for you at all, other than Gail Kim likes to hurt people and has been laying people out left and right, put out Victoria, obviously beat up on Velvet Sky, and her injured knee is Mickey James just watched, so maybe she's going to try to collect something off of Taryn as well, so... Again, it doesn't really make any sense. It's amazing that they have this match and not a knockouts championship match. Again, considering, wouldn't you want to feature the titles on pay-per-views? Wouldn't you want to make the people pay for a even though it is a knockouts title defense, wouldn't you want to make them pay for that? But apparently Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim was just too important, and unfortunately this is not a lights-out knockouts last woman standing match. It's just a regular old sanctioned one, so I don't see too much plunder or anything like that, and hopefully it ends relatively quickly.
I just can't imagine. I mean, sometimes I try to close my eyes and imagine a match. Like, I can totally imagine Bully Ray and Sting, no holds barred. I can completely imagine AJ and Kurt Angle, because I've seen it 1,000 times. I can completely imagine the four-way tag match, because I've seen some variation of it many times. I can imagine D-Von and Joe Park. I can imagine a three-way X Division match. I cannot in my mind imagine a Taryn Terrell, Gail Kim last knockout standing match with multiple 10 counts. I mean, I just can't fathom this. I'm excited for this match.
There are going to be weaves being pulled in this match.
Like, how are they going to keep, what are they going to do? Like, I don't even get it. Someone going to go through a table and then get a 10 count? Is somebody going to be, what is going to attempt to keep these girls down for 10 seconds?
The idea of
Taryn struggling to her feet to break a 10 count.
Are you doubting her thespian abilities and the ability?
Yes,
to...
that is exactly what I'm doing. What is Taryn going to do to Gail Kim, where believably Gail Kim is going to have a tough time getting to her feet by 10?
Botch a move and bang heads where it actually looks like Gail's knocked out. That's always a possibility in these matches.
The more I think about this, the more I'm excited for this match. Last knockout standing.
I hope there is plunder.
I guess.
Why not?
Well, because I don't know how much experience Taryn has hitting people with plunder. I don't want anyone to get hurt.
Oh, yeah? I bet you she's got a little experience hitting somebody with plunder.
You may be right, but she can't hit Gail Kim with plunder like that.
You never know.
Jay Bradley and Sam Shaw. Swear to God, this match is on pay-per-view. Nobody is going to care. Winner gets into the 2013 Bound for Glory series. As I've noted many times, this is the Bellator reality show. The winner gets a slot into an 8-man tournament. What?
Well, I know, that's ridiculous, but this is actually a good example of why what they didn't do right in building up the show, because it's not a bad thing that this thing is on the pay-per-view. I mean, these were two of the guys that seemed to get over more than anybody else, and they've gotten a reaction. I don't think this was a bad idea to do this and to put it on the pay-per-view, as long as both of these guys don't wrestle for 9 minutes and then get, you know, obliterated by one other guy who comes out there and destroys them both, you know, like aces and eights or anything like that. It's how they built up to it, and the fact that they didn't make this as big of a deal as I think they should have. And they did a little, you know, a few video packages. I don't think they did any this week. I think they did it last week. But again, they just, to me, this is one that should have been, you know, brighter and shinier and been pushed a little bit harder on the show, and I don't think they did.
I hate to completely switch gears. We'll come back to TNA in a second, but now my dander's up. I've been thinking about this, and you're a good person to discuss this with. Bellator. If I step away from my job as a reporter, and I think about life as a fan, I just want to see two dudes who I know, or think I know, or at least know something about, fighting to find out who's the better man. Or in the case of Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim, the better woman. It's what I want as a fan. Now, occasionally, it's really cool to watch a tournament, like the old Pride tournaments, where you got the best middleweights in the world, in that promotion at least, and you put them in a tournament and you saw who was the best of them. Or for example, the King of the Ring, the idea was, here's 8 or 16 of the best wrestlers in the world. Let's find out who the king of the ring is. Is this really, like, exciting to your average fan, the idea of a Bellator tournament? Like, every match is a tournament match until you get a winner that faces the champion. I mean, no singles matches, no... you know, it's just every match is a tournament match. You take eight guys, some of whom you've heard of, some of whom fans haven't heard of. They all get in a tournament, and the winner gets a championship match. And this is they're sticklers for this tournament. You must be in this tournament in order to get a shot at the title. You must win this tournament. And now they've got this reality show, this Bellator reality show. And it's not like NXT where, like, the winner supposedly got a championship match, which of course never happened, but actually it happened a couple of times. But this is we're going to have a Bellator reality show, Bellator's version of Ultimate Fighter. And in Ultimate Fighter, the winner got $100,000 or whatever and a spot on the main roster. And in this Bellator tournament, and granted, that's not much of a prize, really, when you think about UFC. But this Bellator tournament, this reality show, you got all these guys that nobody's ever heard of, and they're doing this reality show. You're going to find out who the best guy on the reality show is, and his prize is that he gets to go into one of the tournaments. You're winning a tournament to go into a tournament. Now, again, for your hardcore MMA fan, I'm sure, like, man, the idea that this guy's going to win the reality show tournament, and then he's going to go into the Bellator tournament, and maybe he's going to win that tournament, and then he's going to get a shot at the champion, and maybe win the title. What a story! But, like, for your average dude on the street, is it possible to make that guy care about this concept at all? Because I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's just dumb. And I'm not anti the concept. It's like having, you know, a six-sided ring, or having, you know, TNA's thing with the X Division, with having all three ways. But when it doesn't work, or when it limits you in doing what's probably best for your business, then I think it's something you need to drop. I mean, there's no way there's going to be fan interest in guys they don't know fighting for the right to get into a tournament, so you have to watch, you know, four other fights over God knows how long before they get a title shot, and what if they lose and all that other stuff. And it's really ridiculous, because, you know, this whole thing with, like, Eddie Alvarez, we're going to run a pay-per-view. Just imagine, think about it, they could actually run a pay-per-view. I'm not saying it's going to be successful, because it wouldn't be at all, but say you sign Rampage Jackson to do a one-off fight. Say you sign Paul Daly to do a one-off fight. Say you sign Randy Couture, who's already on your reality show, to be a special guest announcer during the show. Imagine if you did that and had the ability to do that, but instead they're sticking hard and fast, you know, to this whole thing with the tournaments. And I think it really limits them. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm not even saying that they shouldn't just keep doing it because it's their thing for their title matches. If they want to do that, that's fine. But I think they missed the boat on, again, they have to overpay for these names, but names like Quentin Jackson for one night would put a little bit of shine on the promotion and get some attention for it. So as long as he doesn't embarrass himself or embarrass the promotion, you get a little bit of shine out of that. Have your tournament matches on there anyway, but have a women's match. Have, you know, X, Y, and Z on there, and just don't limit yourself.
We'll talk more about this after the break, but even, like, hardcore CMLL fans, I mean, it's like a running joke. What's going on in CMLL? Oh, they're doing another tournament! It's like a running joke. Nobody cares about these tournaments. It's like another tournament. CMLL is another tournament. Wow, another tournament. We'll talk about tournaments after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Short segment here, so very quickly, just want to get it off my chest. This tournament concept in Bellator, I guess I got through this from, we're running down the Slammiversary card. I'm thinking about the Bound for Glory tournament. I didn't mind the Bound for Glory tournament last year. If you do this tournament right, once a year, a tournament to determine who gets the shot at the biggest pay-per-view of the year, I think that's cool. That's fine. But the idea that everything has to be a tournament in Bellator. Everything is a tournament. Everything is a tournament. The reality show is a tournament to win a shot at a tournament. I mean, yes, I can understand this being exciting to hardcore Bellator fans and the sporting aspect of it, and every fight means something, and there are no throwaway fights or anything like that. I mean, yeah, that's great if you're a hardcore Bellator mixed martial arts fan. But to grow the company, to reach out to your average guy who's on his couch drinking beer, you got to have more than just all of these tournaments, these tournaments. And I realize that now they are doing a rare one-off championship match. That's kind of the idea to try to get Eddie Alvarez to return was, yeah, we'll just give you a match with Michael Chandler for the title. Just come back and we'll give you this match. But doesn't even look like that's happening. I just, I see down the road, I see this changing. Because I don't see this as a viable long-term promotional concept as it regards trying to build new fans.
Well, and if you're a fighter too, why would you want to be locked into something like that? And again, unless we see some success stories coming out of Bellator, I mean, Ben Askren is one, and there's been a handful of guys, Chandler obviously, Alvarez obviously, although he was a name before he was even there. It would be one thing if they were making stars out of this deal, and as time goes on, I think it's going to be, why would a UFC fighter who's used to having, you know, a two or a three fight deal want to go in and have to fight in the tournaments again, when they can make money somewhere else fighting just on one-off shows? I think that makes more sense, and I have a feeling, like you say, it's probably time for a change and something that'll have to come, you know, sooner rather than later.
We will be back after the top of the hour break, everybody. Check back 7 minutes. Don't turn that dial. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio. Try channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com and available on the TuneIn Radio app. On your smartphone, search Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer. We spent the first hour talking a lot of different things, ranting about Bellator tournaments, the Slammiversary pay-per-view lineup for tonight. Takes place moments after the show goes off the air. We still have one more match, which we'll talk about in the next segment. And a lot of other stuff as well. And why wait? Let's get to that final match right now. It's Magnus, Samoa Joe, and Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's return in a throwaway match here against Aces and Eights, Wes Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff, Mr. Anderson. A throwaway TNA versus Ace and Eights match. I guess really if you look at the card, whatever they have planned for Aces and Eights, if Bully Ray is losing, for example, I'm sure they'll put the Aces and Eights team over in this match. If Bully Ray is winning, they'll probably put Team TNA over. That would be my guess. Weird for Jeff Hardy to return and not win. So maybe Jeff Hardy is his team is winning here and Bully Ray is losing in the main event. I don't know. But should be a six-man. I'm not excited for this match. This and the Jay Bradley-Sam Shaw match, probably just matches, you know. But maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, as long as they don't do the swerve where Jeff Hardy gets laid out before the match even happens, and it's just Magnus and Joe out there against the three guys. But I'll go with Jeff Hardy getting the win over Mr. Anderson, which causes more dissension with within the ranks of Aces and Eights as they all try to figure out whether Bubba and Brooke still really have love in their hearts for each other, whether they still want to create loin fruit down the line for Grandpa Hulk.
Loin fruit?
Loin fruit.
I should note, I thought it was very interesting on Impact, that in this graphic for this match, they had Jeff Hardy buried in the back and Magnus front and center. I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, we're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment, we got a lot of wrestling news to talk about here today, so stick around. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio. Try channel 92, 94, 794. Try XM Radio channel 208. We stream live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And you can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That's the TuneIn Radio app.
You know what my new way of listening to the show is? My new favorite way, at least?
Hearing your own voice as you do it?
Well, obviously, yes, but the SiriusXM radio app, as well as the brand new player that they have for your computer, where we will show up on the Sports Zone channel. So if you have the app, you just kind of scroll down in the sports section, past NFL radio with our friends Zig Fricassi and Alex Marvez, who's been a very good friend to the Wrestling Observer site. And you go past that, you go past NASCAR and NHL, and there's Sports Zone, and you'll see Wrestling Observer Live. So another fine way to listen to our program and my voice.
The Sirius Satellite Radio app?
Yes, SiriusXM. Just go into the App Store, and you'll get it in there.
And then you put in all of your subscription information, and you're good to go?
Absolutely, and they've even added a little button where you can actually, you know, kind of change the settings for each one of the music stations. Say you want to listen to disco from the 70s, and you turn on the Studio 54 channel, which, ironically enough, Studio 54 is the reason that I'm even on this earth, from what I've heard from my parents, but that's not a story I want to get into. But say you want to listen to some disco, and you want to hear more divas, you can actually toggle the little button and switch it over and get as many divas as you like.
How about that?
Technology, it's an amazing thing.
So literally what you're telling me is you'd have to be very talented in order to not be able to hear this program.
Pretty much. You'd have to be going out of your way to not listen to it, because you can find this show everywhere, as well that you should.
Now, I have been told that, believe it or not, I'd have to find it here. But you can, in fact, listen to this show as well on your telephone. And in the next segment, I'm going to find the information on how you can do that. And I will give it to everybody. If, for example, you for some reason, despite all the different ways we told you to listen to this show, you're still unable, absolutely unable to find this program, I am going to help you listen to this program on your telephone, of all things. So be ready for that coming up later on in this here program. What any quick thoughts on Raw from this past Monday night with Curtis Axel, as Paul Heyman says?
Yeah, I just don't think they're giving him as much help as Michael McGillicuddy / Curtis Axel really needs, although they are playing it up here a little bit, being one of Paul Heyman's guys, that he's going to slimily say that he's gotten two victories, and he explained it on SmackDown that no one's had success like him. Triple H was so scared that he didn't want to get back in the ring with him, and John Cena was so scared that he ran away from him when Ryback came out on Monday night. So he's got that kind of slimy thing going for him. They've added the Perfect Plex, which I think is a good move. You know, it's always surprised me the way they've wanted all of these second-generation guys, and in some cases, like Axel, third-generation guys, to completely, you know, they want to mention the fact that they're second- or third-generation wrestlers, but they don't want to have any tie to their roots at all. And in a case like Bray Wyatt, this will actually probably turn out to be a good thing, on the fact that he's not being played in the Mulligan family or the Wyndham family or the Rotundo family. But with that said, with McGillicuddy, I think he needs all the advantages he can get. So the fact that they're adding that in is a good thing. I just don't, again, in hindsight, it is 2020, although I believe this 2 weeks ago, he should have been the one to do something to kind of put Triple H out. Again, you could blame it on the fact that Triple H had a hard match the night before against Brock Lesnar, but I think that's going to be one mistake that they're going to have trouble clawing away from. He should have really done something to hurt Triple H and to cause the stoppage of that match, and just do something a little more decisive that would put him, you know, a little bit head and shoulders above anybody else. Because again, this is a guy that's been on NXT for a long time and been on house shows and usually losing. So, you know, to bring him in the way that they did, I'm surprised they didn't give him all the advantages that I think he really needed.
Do you think they're going to do Triple H Curtis Axel at the next pay-per-view, or are they going to get rid of Triple H?
No, I don't think they do that. That would actually be a really good idea. And again, you can still, even if you say Triple H does it in the cheapest possible way of putting him over, as long as he puts him over to continue the storyline, because obviously the more major storyline is Triple H and the retirement, and is he too banged up, does he have to stop, all that sort of stuff. So obviously the attention is going to be on him. But again, putting Curtis Axel over clean on a pay-per-view, again, however dumb it is that he knocks himself out or whatever it is, or the match needs to be stopped, a decisive win for, again, he's got to have one at some point, and beating Sin Cara is great and everything, but he needs to be the top guy to really be played into this mix, I think.
I, by the way, have found the phone number. 704-625-9950. You can dial that number and listen to this show on your telephone. Seriously, 704-625-9950. So no excuse to not listen to Wrestling Observer Live. It is available everywhere in the world, 8 billion different ways. So check that out. On the, what's going on over there?
That's, no, apparently the Pandora app just opened and Eddie Murphy's Raw started to play, so.
Wrong Raw.
Yes, Wrong Raw.
That's right.
Gotta walk away from that adult language.
That's right. This Payback show coming up. This is the first ever Payback pay-per-view. New name for the June pay-per-view. In the past, it's been Great American Bash and Money in the Bank, I think it was. Money in the Bank is next month. But anyway, Payback pay-per-view. We got two matches announced. It is John Cena Ryback in a Three Stages of Hell match. They're doing a lumberjack match, a tables match, and an ambulance match. If you're a bad person, everybody, in this life, then when you die, you're going to go to hell, where there are going to be lumberjacks, tables, and ambulances, apparently. So, three different falls. Whoever wins the most falls wins the match. John Cena claiming he's going to win two straight with lumberjack and tables, and then just put him into the ambulance anyway and cart him off. I don't know why it's three stages of hell. I don't know why it matters. I presume they just want to give Ryback a win. I was told the idea actually is to help get John Cena over super strong for whatever's next. But if that's the case, why not just do an ambulance match? What do you need the other two falls for? What's the point? But that's the main event, followed by Jericho and the returning CM Punk in a singles match. Show takes place in Chicago. So Punk is going to return in his hometown. And I would suspect going to get a big reaction. Do you think that CM Punk is turning babyface, Mike?
I think that down the line he is. I don't think he does it here. I can see him maybe at the end if you want to do something where he extends his hand to Jericho and they shake, and maybe that upsets Paul Heyman because of how Chris Jericho spoke to him, and he's offended by that, and Brock Lesnar would never let something like that happen. I mean, he could go in that direction if you wanted to. But I hope whatever it is with CM Punk, and it's going to be good because he's in it, and no matter what they throw at him, he can make it a good thing. But hopefully they have something really rock solid for him, no matter what the plan is going to be, because his presence and his promos have been missed on the show. So at least hopefully they have a plan for him, considering he's been out for a good period of time here.
Obviously, tomorrow we'll have more matches signed. The pay-per-view is June 16th, so 2 weeks left. Interesting note before we go to the break. Raw, I guess they're going up against Game 7 tomorrow of the NBA whatever. I don't know a lot about basketball, but I know there's
it's the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, which I believe are on TNT between the Miami Heat, which is the loaded-up team against the Indiana Pacers.
All right, regardless, I have been told that as a result of the game tomorrow, everybody has, all of the creative team has been called back in, and they were just told to rewrite Raw. WWE was not expecting Game 7 tomorrow. So the idea is big, big opening segment and a very big top of the hour, two big top of the hour segments. And they're trying to avoid being absolutely destroyed in the ratings. So Raw being rewritten. And anyway, that's a lot of stress on the creative team for what's taking place tomorrow. So we'll talk more about that after the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Try Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, the Sirius app on your iPhone, the TuneIn Radio app on your iPhone to search for Sports Byline USA. Streaming live worldwide on the internet. at WrestlingObserver.com. So many places to hear this show. You can also listen to us on your telephone. That's my new one since I brought it up on the last segment. 704-625-9950. Listen to the show on your phone. And I was also yesterday on the Nashville radio station, the Zone Sports. You go to my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. I just retweeted the link. If you want to hear me on the show yesterday, I'm going to be on about once per month. Zone, at Zone Sports Trend is the Twitter as well, if you want to follow it there. And they've got the archived episode with me on the show that is up at Zone Sports Trend on Twitter, or just follow me at Brian Alvarez. I have retweeted it. So no shortage of ways to hear me talk about pro wrestling. So anyway, lots of stuff. One interesting note here, Mike, want to get your thoughts on this. The Raw is being rewritten tomorrow, as I noted, and that is a result of the NBA competition. NBA competition has hurt Raw. It has destroyed the impact rating this past Thursday night. Obviously, the NFL this fall is going to hurt Raw, probably hurt impact on Thursdays as well. It's funny because sports programming has become very valuable. Because there is the theory that sports are DVR proof. People watch sports live, unlike entertainment shows, unlike scripted dramas, which you can DVR and watch later. And then when you DVR, obviously you can fast forward through those commercials. So these big sponsors are putting a lot of money into advertising on sports programming. So WWE, as a result, has tried to differentiate themselves from in the past. They call themselves scripted drama. We're not sport. We're scripted drama. Well, now that sports are making a lot of money in ad revenue, now all of a sudden they're a sport. Obviously a scripted sport and that sort of thing, but still they're trying to push themselves as more sports programming than entertainment programming. What's interesting about that is now that they are pushing themselves and kind of, you know, they're pushing themselves as more sport than entertainment. Do you feel that now they are going to be affected even greater by sports programming because sports fans are going to tune into the NBA and the NFL? Or do you feel that whether they call themselves and push themselves as sports or not, they're still destroying pro wrestling fans that are going to watch the show or not watch the show?
Well, there's always going to be that segment of pro wrestling fans that are going to bitch and moan the most about what they're doing, but they're always going to watch no matter what. I think it would serve their purpose better to, again, one of my things with this Triple H Curtis Axel thing was they decided to take the dramatic soap opera novella type of route with Triple H instead of doing the sport way, which I think would have been more effective and I think would have been more gripping, I think, in the long run, where you have the older star who just was in a war and, you know, he limps out there and there's this young buck and he slips up and Curtis Axel beats him. And, you know, it's just, you know, is it time to go? He's all beaten up. He's hurt. He knew he shouldn't have been in that match. And he could have, you know, that's what happens in sports. And I think you could have really done something with that. You really could, especially when Dolph Ziggler has got a legitimate concussion and they're talking about that. You have Kofi Kingston being laid out by Ryback. And obviously that's because he's having surgery on his elbow. But him being, you know, obliterated and getting a bunch of headshots by Dean Ambrose on the steps and with Ambrose's finisher over the last couple of weeks, I think he could have done that, and it makes it more gripping, and I think you still draw in the soap opera novella type of fan, and you could have done it that way. I think it would have made more sense. And the problem with live TV sports is there's so much money being spent on these things because, as you said, you know, they're looked at by these networks, and the fact that there's just so many sports networks out there now. I mean, it's amazing that there's five or six full-time radio stations, all of which are run by the networks. You know, there's Yahoo, there's NBC, they've all got TV channels and multiple channels coming off of those channels. So the fight for live sports is just going to be something that everybody's going to have to deal with, whether it be dramas or you know, reality shows or anything else. There's a lot of money being paid for these things, and they're going to be put out there. And, you know, obviously it's a lot of it's self-serving, but it's still, you know, Fox has got this thing every week on Saturday nights. If they're not running UFC, they're going to have baseball, and that's going to lead into football. Then they got college football and the whole nine yards. It's just going to be the type of competition everybody's got to deal with, and obviously WWE and TNA are in a little bit different spots because there is such a crossover of eyeballs that they're pulling from, but it's just going to be something that they're going to have to deal with just like everybody else is.
Why has sports exploded over the last several years? The economy?
It's the fact that there's all these networks, too. I mean, and the fact, and again, it's also who's in bed with each other. You know, the Big Ten Network is partially owned by Fox. It was 50% owned by Fox. They want to get into different markets. They want to get into the lucrative D.C. market, and they did that by bringing in the University of Maryland, who gets a lot of boosters. They did the New York market by getting Rutgers in there. So now Fox can go ahead and bundle the Big Ten Network with all of their other networks and go, we want this on basic cable, and you know what? Your people are going to clamor for it because they want to see Rutgers football or they want to see the University of Maryland. So, you know, again, it's a little bit more incestuous as you go up the line, and, you know, it's not fun because it's all corporate business and things like that. It's very interesting, but it's not the most fun things in the world, but it's just going to be one of those things. It's, hey, the Fox has got, they're switching and coming up with two major sports networks to really go after ESPN. This has been tried before, but they're going to put every effort they have into going out there and driving home and beating up ESPN and driving up the rights to these live cable broadcasts because they're now in a bidding war to get some of this stuff too and to have some stuff on their own network. So, again, it's very intriguing from a business point of view, but it's not probably too fun from the viewer point of view when there's so many things to be watching at one time. And as you said, when it comes down to the DVR, sports seems to be the thing that no matter what, always wins. You're not going to watch it on the DVR unless you absolutely have to. In fact, most people, I think, that DVR their games are such fanatics that they go back and watch the game they've already seen.
So this affects Impact as well. As noted this week earlier in the show, they did a record low rating. They did 1 million viewers, and this was the week that they moved back from 8 to 10 to 9 to 11. And the idea of moving at all was because the first hour rating was getting killed. And so the idea was, well, let's move back to our old time slot of 9 to 11, and things will get back to normal. And instead, strong NBA competition this week slaughtered them. A 1.0 rating, terrible number. I'm sorry, 1.0 million viewers, terrible number. And now that begs the question, all right, now what? They moved later to help the rating, and obviously they're not going to have competition like this every week. So maybe next week it'll be back up to 1.3 million viewers, and we can forget all this ever happened. But moving later, the idea behind this was we boost that rating, and moving later has necessitated Bellator probably moving to Wednesday nights. They're no longer going to have that TNA lead-in, which did help. Don't get me wrong. The TNA lead-in helped Bellator a lot. A strong Impact led to a strong Bellator rating, and a weak Impact led to a weak Bellator rating. So there was a correlation there. They're now moving to another night with no TNA lead-in. They're going head-to-head with UFC. I think this is going to be bad news for Bellator. And one thing that I don't think a lot of people have taken into account is, as long as TNA was providing a strong lead-in for Bellator, which Spike TV owns. Spike TV owns Bellator. They don't own TNA. They own Bellator. As long as Impact was giving Bellator a strong lead-in, there was no concern about Impact being canceled or relegated to a different time on a different day. They were safe as long as they were a strong lead-in for Bellator. Bellator has now been moved off Thursday nights, probably moving to Wednesdays. TNA is no longer they're no longer serving as the strong lead-in for this show. So if the rating falls and maybe continues to fall, I mean, there's no guarantee that TNA is going to be kept around. So I think it's a really, for both for Bellator and TNA, I think it's a bad move to separate these two companies from each other. And I don't know. We'll see what happens this fall. I maybe at the end of the day, they just move back to 8 to 10 again and follow with Bellator. I suppose that's the easiest solution if things tank for both companies. But I don't think this is good news for either group.
No, I don't either. And I tend to think that they're probably... I thought they had a good thing going with that whole Thursday night, you know, gimmick they had of Thursday night's fight night, and, you know, or the Extreme Aggression Night or whatever it was, where they had some skits done with people fighting, and I thought that was amusing. And again, yeah, I mean, it was a good package to have, and I think they're going to be humbled by the UFC on Wednesday night. Fox Sports 1 is going to be a big deal when it debuts, and again, the eyeballs, and because of the fight that it is, and because of who's going to be on it, and again, just the massive push that Fox Sports 1 is going to have, I think ultimately Bellator and their show is going to be humbled on Wednesday nights, and I think TNA is going to draw around the same base no matter what, so I don't think there's really a whole lot of concern for them. And to be honest, until Spike makes some moves, or corporately Viacom as a parent company makes some moves where they put first-run programming on there more, and they put some other stuff on there, I think as long as Spike continues to draw the rating that it does, and it's getting an influx of money, not coming from Spike and mostly coming from Panda or wherever else they're getting it, I think ultimately, no matter what, that's going to be a safe show.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, including the death of the brand split. UFC is starting their own network, and a lot of sad news to talk about. Buck Robley passed away, Hector Garza passed away, and Buck Zumoff is in big trouble. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. And obviously, when this show ends, get ready for TNA Slammiversary, all previewed in the first hour. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, 794, 92, XM Radio, Channel 208, the XM Sirius Radio app on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Search Wrestling Observer Live or Sports Byline USA. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. So many ways to listen to this show, and so many ways to get audio at WrestlingObserver.com. Radio every single solitary day on the website. If you only hear this show once per week, you are missing out. WrestlingObserver.com daily radio shows, and if you sign up for our members area, which is only $10.99 per month, not only do you get all of the brand new radio shows, but every radio show that we have ever done, dating back to 2005, is available for you in the archives immediately upon signing up. Thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio. More audio than you could ever get through is available on the website. So if you love this show and you want more, it's only $10.99 a month. That's it. Try it for a month. Give it a shot. Download a bunch of shows. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But if you like this show, I guarantee you that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. We have free shows available. If you go to WrestlingObserver.com, scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest four free radio shows. Check them out. And if you like what you hear, well, that's what you can get every single day. Every single day. Monday through Friday, I try to do at least 2 shows a day on the website. That's just me. We've got tons of other hosts, tons of other shows. It's a great resource if you love wrestling audio. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking all of the news. And Mike, this weekend, the end of the brand split, in with a roar, I guess, with the years back when WCW died and WWE bought the remnants and they did the invasion angle, and they had a lot of ideas of a WCW promotion that was owned by WWE, a WWE promotion, 2 different shows on 2 different networks, so many ideas, and it ended up with what it ended up with, a Raw and SmackDown touring brand. And as of this week, it is now just WWE Live. No longer a Raw brand, no longer a SmackDown brand. The brand split is dead, and it happened just like that.
I tell you, now would be a fantastic time, especially because of the way that the World Heavyweight title is positioned. Now would be a hell of a time to unify those belts. It would be a hell of a time to unify the United States title and the Intercontinental title. It just really would be, because I did understand having 2 world champions if you're going to have 2 separate touring brands. And you were going to certain towns with, say, Dolph Ziggler, and you were going to the other towns with John Cena. I did understand that, absolutely. I even understood that to a point when it came to the secondary titles, like the Intercontinental and U.S. title. I completely understood that as well. But because they're not doing that anymore, I think it's time that, you know, and again, with Brock Lesnar, it would be a great thing. It would be a really, really easy thing to do. to have Brock Lesnar go through and, you know, have his reign of terror and go through to WrestleMania and have him win back the belt that, you know, he was the first one. If I recall correctly, he was the unified champion. Obviously, Jericho was the first one who had been, went down the line, and ultimately they split it after Lesnar where he walked off, I think, where he was going to be only on SmackDown. But have him going back to taking that belt, and to me, if you're going to run the, you know, the shows together, like, why have all those superfluous belts? That obviously means nothing to Wade Barrett. It means a little bit more to Dean Ambrose because of the way that he's positioned. And, you know, go ahead and unify those titles. Have, again, Barrett means nothing. Have him drop to Miz. Have Miz get destroyed by the Shield and lose it to Ambrose. And, again, just to me, that would make the most sense. And it takes away some of the nonsense of having these belts because Swagger Del Rio and Jax, or Swagger Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler, on paper, they should be having really good matches with each other, and obviously injuries and some things have happened, but no matter what, at the end of the day, nobody takes them seriously as far as being champions go, so why not just go ahead and eliminate that one altogether?
Talk about preaching to the choir.
Just, it won't happen, but, you know.
Just two belts, everybody. Unify the world title, bring back the Winged Eagle, and then unify the, you know, I'm sorry to laugh, everybody. I just got distracted. I realized I was supposed to be doing a radio show here, but I just got completely distracted. I'm gonna do some stuff here on the air, everyone. What happened was, anybody have a Mac? Do you have a Mac?
No, I really want one. I just have the phone.
So I've got this Mac, and I've got this iMessage, which is, you know, basically all of your, if you have an iPhone and an iMac and everything like that, everything's all connected. And so my text messages also go to my computer. So you're sitting here ranting about the titles and everything like that. And my wife texted me to let me know that she's leaving. She's going to go dig some holes with her mom at her mom's garden.
Not for you, right?
No, not a grave.
Okay.
So I sent her a little text, you know, take it easy, my love, you know, blah, blah, blah. We got to avoid, because we're not feeling well, you know, we had a long weekend, so I'm trying to avoid getting sick. So I sent her this nice little text message. And then I realized that the last person I texted was Vinny to come to the TNA pay-per-view. And so his message is at the top of this damn window here. So I actually sent the message that I intended to send to my wife, professing my love to Vinny.
I think that says a lot. You know, that's the closeness that you two have, and that's what makes your radio show with him and your grandmother just so successful, is that kind of love and brotherhood that you've got up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Now, the real comedy is what he responded. Unfortunately, this is a terrestrial radio show. I can't read this text. But suffice to say, I am deeply embarrassed and also infuriated. And so when Vinny comes over here tonight, if only I had a webcam, because I'm going to whip him six ways from Sunday for what he wrote to me on this iMessage.
God, and they say Coughlin and Tony are bad.
This is worse.
Hopefully, the people spend $10.99 and take a listen to the post-show with you and Dave, where you'll talk a little bit about this brawl that you're going to have, and then later on in the week when you do the Brian and Vinny show, in fact, that'll be the mystery. Will he do that show with you because of the way you're going to beat him tonight?
Will he be alive? That hole that my wife is digging is going to be for Vinny now, after this sickening response that he gave me after I accidentally sent him a message that was intended for my wife. iMessage.
You knew that, too. Very, very cruel, Vinny. You didn't have to be all like that. You knew it was a mistake, man.
iMessage is nothing but trouble. I'm going to fine him $20,000 for what he wrote back to me right there, everybody.
Whoa, wait. I know you do very, very well. You've got a summer residence, much like the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase had. But remember what Jim Cornette and Bill Watts and all those other great bookers always taught you. Don't find the man some outrageous number. Find him something that the people are going to believe that's really going to hurt him. Find him whatever it would cost.
This ain't no angle, though, Mike. I'm finding him $20,000.
He's got that kind of money. Is ESPN getting
that? He doesn't have that kind of money. He's going to owe me for the rest of his life.
Oh, look at you with the slavery.
That's right. It's just a sickening turn of events here. Anyway, where were we before this all went down? The brand split's dead. So, on to other topics. UFC's network. Speaking of $20,000 fines, there have been plenty of those lobbied around in UFC of late. UFC has beat WWE to the punch on a network. It is, I realized there was confusion on our front page when somebody, me, actually not me, believe it or not, noted this was not a North American network. In fact, it is available in North America. Mexico, which is part of North America.
Come on, Nason.
Well, I didn't want to mention any names, but it was Nason who needs to, if you guys want to get Josh Nason a present for Christmas, get him a globe, preferably one that was put together in the last couple of years. And not the one he's got right now, which was apparently created in the 15th century. But anyway, the UFC is going to have a network, 24-hour a day, WWE network style deal in Latin America, Mexico, and I believe elsewhere as well. But jumping the gun here, beating WWE to the punch, and I can only imagine what Vince McMahon's reaction to this is, knowing that UFC is going to beat him to a network.
Hopefully it's something that I can get on my massive expanded Latino package that I'm holding. Because one of the great parts about, you know, unfortunately don't have Fuel, but one of the great parts about having Fox Deportes is sometimes a lot of the shows that they'll have on Fuel as far as the undercard goes will show on there. And hopefully this is a way to find out some more. And, you know, they've been trying to do this for a while. I think it was a Gennaro name as the old champion boxer used to do pay-per-view for them. God, it seems like forever ago now. Maybe that was like 2005, I think it was. They've been trying their damnedest to make inroads into that country and to help build the sport. So anything they do there is going to be a good thing. It's just a matter of, you know, will these shows be playing in America? And I tend to hope not. If they are, they're relegated to kind of the Fuel / Fox Sports 2 realm of things.
Buck Robley passed away. Buck Zumoff facing prison, perhaps life in prison, on charges that he had relations with his daughter thousands of times over several years. A disgusting story. And I don't want to talk too much about that one. You can Google Buck Zumoff if you want all of the details. But Mike, tell us a little bit about the death of Buck Robley.
Yeah, hopefully Bunkhouse Buck, Jimmy Golden, is okay somewhere. But Buck Robley, who was very much tied to Bruiser Brody as far as being a longtime friend of him and tied to Bill Watts, is when Bill Watts split from Lee Moriarty McGurk and took over Louisiana and Mississippi, he made Buck Robley his booker. And in a lot of ways, you know, Robley talked a great game, but as far as history goes, from what most people say, it was kind of like a Vince Russo, Vince McMahon type of situation where Robley had a hell of a lot of ideas and a lot of really, really great ones, including the blinding of Michael Hayes or the blinding of the Junkyard Dog with the Freebirds, which ended up being a massive, massive success for that company. But he, you know, a lot of the stuff had to be run through Watts, and Watts kind of cleaned things up and fixed it here and there. But to say Buck Robley was not an incredibly creative guy is not true. Because he went to Kansas City, and again, he used his guys, and he was kind of I'm not saying a slicer and dicer or anything like that, but juiced up the territory, kind of built it up, and unfortunately, his demons would get in the way. In Bill Watts' book, he said, you know, it's amazing. Robley was making $7,000 a week as a booker for him when he was fired and ended up being replaced by Ernie Ladd, which started a great run for Mid-South for a while until Bill Dundee got there. But he said that it was, he couldn't rely on Buck. Buck had a really bad problem with cocaine, and he was very open about his issues with Bill Watts, but he just would get so completely paranoid that he couldn't even deal with him. And ultimately he was gone, and again, he bounced around, booked some in Southeast. Championship Wrestling, did some really good stuff with Mr. Olympia. Again, did some stuff in Kansas City where he had Buck Robley's Army. And one of the most famous things with him is he was one of the first guys to have a T-shirt because he had a really bad body. He used to wear this ugly yellow T-shirt with his face on it saying, Colonel William Philip Christopher Buck Robley, nobody calls me yellow, which was his tag phrase. And he also had used a loaded forearm, which, ironically enough, when he was working with Iron Mike Sharp as kind of a mentor role to him, That's how he ended up taking over that, which he brought into the WWF and kind of made famous in the mid-80s.
Also sad to report the death of Hector Garza, one of the biggest stars in Mexico, who also made a lot of inroads in the U.S. He worked for WCW, he worked for TNA, worked briefly for WWE, and actually had he would have been a big star in TNA, except he got busted for steroids going over the border and was kicked out of the country for 5 years. He passed away at the age of 42 after a battle with lung cancer, and very sad story. Very greatly respected in Mexico. Virtually everybody in the business tweeted about his death last week, and a very sad story. Back in just a moment with more, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And very quickly, Mike, since we only have a very limited amount of time here, wanted to get your thoughts on the idea of Miesha Tate getting the coaching role opposite Ronda Rousey after Kat Zingano, was forced to undergo emergency knee surgery for torn ACL. What are your thoughts on the decision they made to bring in Zingano, or bring in Tate?
It was the right business decision to do for business as far as eyeballs, because you know Miesha Tate's going to be great. You know the battle going to be back and forth. And again, debuting this thing on Fox Sports 1, hey, you know, I guess I can't really say anything bad about it. I would like to have seen Sarah McMahon get it, but the UFC did not offer it to her because her people have made it very clear that, you know, they don't want to face Ronda Rousey until they're ready. I think they made a big, big mistake, because with Sarah McMahon's story, and she's got a great one, Olympic silver medalist, as well as a lot of things that have happened in her life, I think she really, this exposure over the weeks could have been a great, great thing for her, and I think they really made a mistake. But because McMahon wouldn't take the fight, to me, you had to go in the direction of taking Miesha Tate then that way, and hey, it's probably something that a lot of people, especially the diehards, don't want to see. And I got to be honest, I can't blame them whatsoever. But you know what? If McMahon's people didn't want to take the fight, this was the smartest thing for them to do. And ultimately, I honestly believe this. At some point, it's going to bite them in the ass. But when it comes to the build-up for this show, and when it comes to these two women leading men and their hatred for each other, it really is the right thing for business. And I don't think it's going to backfire. But again, I really wish Sarah McMahon's people would not be so highly against facing off against Ronda Rousey right now.
All right, everybody, we are pretty much out of time. But as noted, Slammiversary is going on the air now as we go off the air. Dave Meltzer will be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave and I are going to be back tonight with a brand new radio show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Check it out. It's only $10.99 a month. You'll get that show. You'll get every show we do next week and every week afterwards, and every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. It'll be a fun time tonight. So check out the radio show. Check out the pay-per-view. We'll be back next week here live and free. Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.